This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. I love that, man. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And we're going to learn some lessons today. Psalm 34 may be familiar, and it has some common terminology. But we're going to look at some words in Psalm 34 and break it down just a little bit and see where do we fit in this psalm that David is talking about. And there's a certain flow and a rhythm that he does with this. It's broken down into four sections, and those four sections are verse 1 through 3. And it says, join in praise. David is seeking people to join in him in praising God. Verse 4 through 7, he's talking about his deliverance from trouble. We'll want to learn from that, of course. And then verses 8 through 14 is talking about the fear of the Lord, and we'll break that down just a little bit. And then 15 through 22 is his declaration of praise to the Lord. Now, that's different than saying, join me in praise. He has a declaration of praise to the Lord. So I want to call out certain aspects as we go through Psalm 34. Verse 1 through 3 says this, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I will bless the Lord at all times, it says. I really don't want to ask after each thing, but I'm going to ask it a couple. Where do we fit in that? Do we bless the Lord at all times? Or do we bless the Lord when things are good for us? And then when things get tough, we say, who is the Lord? Where is the Lord? How could he allow this to happen? His praise shall continually be in my mouth. What is coming out of our mouth? What are the words that we're speaking to one another? What are the words we're speaking to people we know and the people we don't know? It's much easier to be nasty to people we don't know. It's much easier to be nasty to people on the phone that we don't know because they don't know us and they'll never find us. And I'm talking about the way we talk to strangers or stores or businesses or car repair places, whatever it is. How do we treat them? What is coming out of our mouth? Let me throw one more thing out there. How about the ones we love? What are we saying to our loved ones when we're mad? Oh, bless you and praise you for screwing that up here at the house. No, what are we saying? Can you get nothing right ever? God says, man, we are made to be different. We are a new creation. I'll take that as an amen. We are a new creation. We're different. We still have the same old world all around us. But he says, I made you different now. And I've given you different supernatural strength to deal with issues. You have something inside of you now that is different, that calls you to rise above the junk that may be surrounding you. I tell people when they come work for me, I don't need any stress. I don't need your drama drug into my place of business. I tell them there's an imaginary coat rack right outside that door, and you leave your junk out there. And you come in here with a great attitude. And you come in here ready to work. And if you can't do that, you won't work for me. Now, I always remind them, if you so choose when you go home to pick up that bag of crud and take it home with you and sling it all around your house, go right ahead. But you're not dragging your bag of junk in my place of business and slinging it around my store and my employees and my customers. We have a bag of junk that we travel with and we collect things with. The bag lady. We add stuff to it. And we drag that stuff around. God says, by the way, that's starting to get heavy because you picked up some heavy stuff. But he says, do me a favor. Do me a favor today. He says, will you take that bag and would you set it right here? And would you drop it at my feet? And leave it there. I'm kind of walking funny. I need my counterbalance. I've had that thing on my shoulder. I'm going to go pick it back up. Oh, there, I feel balanced again. We pick up that bag of junk again, not because it's good for us, but because it's comfortable to us or for us. Leave the bag there. These shoes were a little funky when I first got them. I learned to walk in them. Oh, great. They feel better. Now they feel like slippers on my feet. Leaving that bag of junk at the feet of Jesus is going to be the best thing you can do. And in that are all kinds of words that you used to use towards other people. He says, you don't have to use those anymore. He says, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. Quit boasting on yourself. Look what I did. Oh my gosh, look what I did through the power of Jesus Christ. That's okay. Boast in the Lord, but not in yourself. I got through this mess with the help of the Lord. He showed me the way. He gave me strength. It says, the humble shall hear of it and be glad. And then it says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. What does magnify mean? Make bigger or glorify? Man, let's make bigger the Lord. Let's make Him big. And make sure people know that He's big in our life. Well, it says, or to glorify. Well, what does glorify mean? Church, sometimes we read these definitions and all they do is throw another word that we may not understand. To glorify Him. Great. I'm going to glorify the Lord. What does that mean? A simple thing just says you acknowledge the majesty and splendor of God. But another definition said we do that how? By our actions. And the Bible tells us by our actions and our words, our deeds, the things we say to one another. That's how they will know that you belong to me. I'm confused because your sticker says you're a Christian, but I saw a gesture. And then as I drove past, you mouthed some things to me. And I can only assume you bought that car used from a Christian. And you have not yet met Jesus Christ. We acknowledge the majesty and splendor of God by our actions. Now verse 4 through 7 says this. And it says, I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to Him and were radiant. And their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and delivers them. I got to tell you, when I read this, and I thought, I sought the Lord. Are we seeking Him? Are we looking for Him? Sought means to attempt to find or a desire to obtain. He says, I sought Him. I asked for Him. I looked for Him. And He heard me. And then He delivered me from all my fears. They looked to Him and were radiant. Their faces were not ashamed. And I looked up the word radiant and I thought, okay, how does that fit into this? And I thought, shining or glowing brightly. Now, my wife and I went to eat last night. I said, oh, we won't get home till this time. She said, it's just down the road. I said, yes, but it's going to take forever to get our drink order. Then forever for them to come take our food order. Then forever to bring us our ticket. Then forever to come back with a credit card. I said, it's going to be forever. I said, no, it's not. Went in there, seated us. 2 seconds later, a guy spins around the counter and said, "My goodness, where did you come from?" He said, "I'm here to take your drink order." And it was a wonderful evening. He was happy to be there. Now, I did see another lady walking past several times with orders. She did not appear to be happy to be there. Shoulders down, mouth down. I mean, she wasn't happy to be there. Then I thought about the food bank. When we went to the food bank the other night, there was a young lady there. Our church appeared to be happy to be there. Okay. But there was a young lady there. And as I was leaving, I said, "You were smiling the whole night." I said, "You had a great attitude." I said, "I just want to let you know, I noticed that smile the entire night." She said, "Thank you." And as I walked out the door, she said, "Thank you for noticing." And I thought, I don't think she was doing it to be noticed, but I thought, it's nice to be noticed. I'm in a good mood. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be serving somebody. Josh put out a message to the youth group, and I responded and said, "I am so proud of our young people. I'm proud of our old people also, but I was proud of our young people for going and serving." And I said, "You are meeting with people you don't know, serving people you don't know for an end result that you don't know. And you showed up big and strong for that." And I was very proud of them for that. And that's the beginning of a servant's heart and a servant's attitude, is when our young people get involved in that stuff. So this says they looked to him and were radiant. Man, do we look to God and say, "Man, God, I am so happy to know you. God, I want my appearance to be radiant in your presence." Now, where is his presence? Everywhere, wherever I go, are we radiant? But then I love it. The poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Now, we're going to read something about that in a minute here, but he saved him out of all his troubles. Now, does that mean they all disappeared, or what did that mean? Did God save Jesus out of all his troubles? Depends on how you look at it. Jesus prayed and said, "Lord, if there's any way for this to pass, however, your will, not my will, be done." People mocked Jesus and said, "Hey, have your God come down and save you from that cross, if you are who you say you are." By the way, we have external people in our lives that say the same thing. If your God exists, he wouldn't let you go through that. If your God exists, he'd pull you through that. If your God exists, that never would have happened to you. We know that's just not rational. It's not rational. I sought the Lord and he heard me. Are we seeking him in our times of trouble? Our night of prayer was so powerful because we showed up. We had a lot of needs, different needs, spoken, unspoken. And we prayed and we were there for one another. That night, we sought him, and he heard us. And he heard us. You know, Jan Caldwell continued to lift her and the family up over the loss of her grandson, Chuck. We had the service here Monday. And that's what I was talking about earlier. This church body has served one another in different needs. Thank you. And we heard some wonderful testimonies. There were over 200 people in this church. In case you're doing some quick math, yeah, we had to add a few chairs. But it was a wonderful testament to Chuck and to his family, because of his family and or because of him. And I don't remember, Jim and Dale, I think, and Eric, I think you were sitting in the glass room with me when a young man left, and he said, "Thank you," and thanked the church. And he was very grateful for what we offered him and the family for his friend. We were there for each other, and we called on Jesus. We called out to God, and He heard us. And there was comfort for the family. There continues to be comfort for the family. Does there continue to be hurt and pain? Absolutely. But when we cry out to Him, He hears us. When we seek Him, He hears us. Now verse 8 through 14 says this. And this is the part that I really love. When I mentioned earlier, I was talking about this. And it's talking about the fear of the Lord. But as we look at the message, see the goodness of God. And seeing the goodness of God, that has to do with our focus and where we are looking or what we are looking at. Who we are looking to or for. Out at the cemetery, at the committal service, I was speaking and I could hear them coming. Here come those fighter jets. And I heard them coming and I finished the statement through one and then I just stopped, let them go over. And I said, I love that the military did a flyover for Chuck. Now that's the way I looked at it. And I said, guys, it's all in how we focus and how we look at things. We can choose to say, what an interruption to my service. It wasn't my service. I was merely being used as an instrument. But as they went overhead, I didn't say, oh, how ridiculous. I said, how wonderful that we would have that type of an honor. And I just said, it's just my way of looking at it. And it's how we focus on things. Verse 8, I'm sorry. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Church, taste it. See it. Discover it. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is a man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Man, if this was cereal, it'd have several prizes inside of it, not just one. It'd be loaded with sugar and not sugar-free. This is power-packed right here. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. It says, blessed is the man who trusts in Him. I love this. Verse 10 talks about the young lions lack and suffer hunger. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Now, what does that mean? That means we've taken our focus. And the believer recognizes and acknowledges when the Lord has met their needs. A couple years back, I told a little story about a guy that went off to a monastery to find himself and be closer to God and all these different things. And the monk said, now, if there's anything you lack or anything you need at all, you come to me. I will explain why you don't need it. Okay? So the believer understands. They go a little deeper, start getting that wisdom and that maturity. And they understand that I don't lack. The Lord has met my needs. My desires may be way out there. And I'm living out past my needs. And I'm living for my desires. The believer says, let me slow down and see what I need versus what I want, what I desire. But then we get into the fear of the Lord. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Now, the fear of the Lord means different things depending on who you ask, but most Bible scholars will agree on this. It said it's a humble recognition of God with the proper response to who and what He is and a proper focus on Him. The fear of the Lord isn't saying, God, I'm always afraid when I'm in your presence and I fear just being around you. No, it's understanding who and what He is, focusing on Him, and then having the proper response. Verse 13 talks again, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Church, it's what we say. It's what we say that can't be taken back. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. But you did, and it hurt me. But our response should also be, but I forgive you. Thank you. I'm sorry I said that. I was mad. I was upset. I was talking to a gentleman the other day who was very frustrated with me. And I went to apologize and said, I never meant to upset you. This is this. I did this. And man, it wasn't to upset you at all. And after an hour, he came to me and said, I want to apologize. He said, first, I accept your apology, but I want to apologize. And he said, my pride got the best of me. And I took it this way. But I see you didn't mean it that way at all. And I'm sorry. I said, well, thank you. And we move on and life is good. But it's that forgiveness also if someone does something that hurts us. And then at the very end of that, it says, depart from evil and do good. Church, I'm a new creation. I get to leave evil and go do good. I don't have to live in that same place and go back to the pig pen. And I feel like it's Hogan's Heroes, you know. Let me let myself out of the prison camp. Let me go on my way, do my stuff, and then let myself back in the prison camp and lock the door again. Sometimes I feel like that's what we do as Christians. I'm in this cage of sin. I let myself out. I go to church. I do some good things. And then I go back in, close myself in, lock the door, and I'm back in my cage of sin. He says, don't live there. Depart from evil and do good. And it doesn't say, and then go back to where you were. It just says, depart. But then it says, seek peace and pursue it. To follow. Why? So that we can attain it, so that we can obtain it, so that we can get peace. Seek peace and pursue it. So that we may what? Continue in peace. If you don't have peace, I challenge you to get closer to God. He will provide a peace that circumstances can't provide. He will provide a peace that people can't provide to us. Getting closer to God is getting closer to peace and finding that peace because we're seeking Him. Then He'll reveal Himself to us, but we have to recognize Him. Then we have to continue in it. Continue in peace. Not just with those you know. Those you don't know. Yeah, there's some poor drivers out there. Okay? You're not the cops. You don't need to pull them over and give them a ticket. You don't need to give them what for driving past them. You don't have any flashers, sirens on your vehicle. Just stay away from them. Depart from evil. Maybe they're evil drivers. I don't know. Just stay away. Yeah, I'm talking to myself too, by the way. in that area, because I struggle with that sometimes. Verse 15 through 22. It says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. Verse 18. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Now listen to verse 19. It almost sounds like a contradiction. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Well, it just said the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them and delivers them out of trouble. And then it turns around and says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. God, what is it? Are you pulling me out of it? Are you telling me I'm going to have them? Yes and yes. You're going to have them, and He's going to pull you out of it and through it. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of His servants. And none of those who trust in Him shall be condemned. When we talk about the fear of the Lord, and we talk about recognizing who He is, what He is, all those things come into play, and we start looking at this. We start saying, God, where do I fit in this? He says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. But then your word says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Preached a message some time ago talking about a righteous man falls, but he gets back up. So God is telling us, and the Bible tells us in many situations, we're going to have problems. We're going to stumble. We're going to fall. But we're going to get up. Wednesday night in Ground Zero, we're talking about godly relationships and peer pressure. And there was a young man in the New Testament who was one of the 12. When we talk about a righteous man falling and stumbling and struggling, he told Jesus, I will never deny you, even if I have to die with you. Other things said, Jesus, they may deny you. They may fall. Not me. I stand strong. And he stood strong until he got that big crowd. When they got Jesus, they said, what should we do with this man? And the crowd cried out, what? Crucify him. Crucify him. All of a sudden, that young man started thinking, let me get further away from him. And they said, weren't you with him? He said, no, I wasn't. I don't know him. Then another group said, you're one of his. I saw you with him. He said, no, I didn't. I didn't hang out with him. I wasn't with him. I'm not one of his. And then someone else said, you're one of his. He said, even if I have to curse myself, I do not know the man. I'd say a righteous man is going to fall. And then he was crushed with guilt as he heard the rooster crow. And he remembered what Jesus said, you're going to deny me three times. Those weak ones might, Jesus, not me. I stand here strong today. And I tell you, we have to protect our relationship with God at all times. I told Josh and Nikki as we were doing premarital counseling, Protect your relationship at all costs. Value one another. Respect one another. Love one another. Protect your relationship at all costs from the evil one. And by the way, the evil one may not be sitting there in a red outfit, little horns and a pitchfork, and you may not recognize the evil one. The evil one sneaks in there sometimes. The evil one sneaks in as a friend. The evil one sneaks in as opportunity sometimes. Protect yourself. Church, we have to protect ourselves against the evil one. We looked at David and his call to join him in praise. We saw him seeking the Lord in trouble and his deliverance from that trouble from God. We saw him call us to the fear of the Lord and his declaration for us to praise the Lord. So where do we fit in this story, church? Are we on the outside looking in going, what's happening in there? Man, you guys look like you're praising and worshiping God. Man, I wish I could be a part of that. Or are we on the inside singing out to God? Oh, man, come join us. I tell Jennifer every now and then I hear her beautiful voice because I'm facing that way and her voice is coming this way and I hear that beautiful voice. And I thank you for praising God with that beautiful voice. It is amazing. You're on the inside, by the way, in that praise and worship. Enjoying that. Tasting and seeing that the Lord is good through your praise and worship. Do we seek Him in times of trouble? And then do we acknowledge Him when He delivers us from that trouble? Do we fear the Lord and recognize and understand His power and majesty? And do we respond appropriately to His power and majesty? And then finally, as David did, do we declare our praise to the Lord? And do we sing out to Him? Today, my challenge is simply to look at Psalm 34. Understand it. Read it for what it is. Search out those little words that stand out. Say, oh, it's telling me to go seek peace and pursue it. If I'm seeking, aren't I pursuing? Well, one says go after, and one says really to continue in it. So it's one thing to go after peace. I had peace for about 5 minutes, then it was just destroyed by everything, you know. Or do we pursue it? Well, let's go back to peace. Where were you before it happened? What caused it to go away? Those are where we have to connect the dots. What is causing us to turn away, to fall away, to drift away from God in certain moments? As we understand and recognize those things, then that helps us develop a better relationship with God to be what? More Christ-like. To be the aroma of Christ and not that bag of crud that's hanging on the hook outside that we choose to pick up. Today you may have a bag of crud you've got to lay at the feet of Jesus. I challenge you today to drop it off. And by the way, you don't have to bring it up here. You can drop it off at the feet of your seat when you get up there. Don't pick it up like it's part of your belongings. Because it is no more. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, today as we look at your Psalm 34, God, I pray that we recognize you for who and what you are. God, I pray that we can be different because of what we've seen and heard. God, I pray that through the psalm, we can see that we will face troubles. We will have difficulties, but you give us a way out. When we cry out to you, you hear our voice and you deliver us. God, when we are hungry and desire things, that we recognize that you have given us all we need. You have provided for us. God, I pray today that those that are here that may need to drop off their bag of junk, that they do so at your feet, and they leave it there, and they turn and walk away from it to become free of that weight. Those that are in bondage today, God, that they walk out of that prison cell and they don't return to it. They depart from evil and seek to do good. God, we thank you for your psalm. We thank you for David and his message to us. God, I pray today we apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.